Good evening and praise the Lord, everybody. To those of you who are members of the Marble Church, who are regular attendees of WeWo, to anyone who is worshiping from around the city of New York or anywhere around the world, I greet you with the joy of Jesus and I welcome you to this edition of Wednesday Worship, which we call WeWo. Our call to worship is taken from one of my favorite passages of scripture, which is Lamentations chapter 3, and it reads, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because the Lord's compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The hymn writers began with the last sentence and they continued, "Great is your faithfulness, God, my creator. There is no shadow of turning with you. You change not and your compassions fail not. As you have been, you forever will be." Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, we begin worship tonight by first acknowledging that we are in awe of your faithfulness. We are in awe of your keeping power. Thank you for looking out for us this week. Thank you for being such an incredible and capable provider and shepherd. Tonight, as we experience the anointed and powerful ministry of Dia and the WeWo Praise Band, as we hear the rich word that our own Reverend Susanna will deliver tonight, God, our hearts are sensitive to every nudge and every whisper of your spirit. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed. We want to know you better when we leave worship tonight than we did when we came into this stream. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and give thanks. Let's all say together, amen.
Ready? Yep. That's what I want you to do. Yeah. Put your hands together. Hey. We're going to wake up in here. Yeah. You can dance. You can clap your hands. Whatever you do, I want you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Anything that went on today, I hope you forget about it. And just know that wherever God is, that's where we want to be. Here we go. To the chorus. Two. Ready. You say,
where you are is where I want to be. In your presence,
oh,
there's no place that I would rather be, cause with you, Jesus,
it's heaven on earth. Say it again.
It's heaven on earth. It's heaven on earth. It's heaven on earth.
Here we go. First verse. You are here.
You are here. As we're lifting up your name, lifting up your name, you are here.
That's the second verse, but that's all right.
As we're giving you the praise, giving you the praise, the kingdom of God is releasing the atmosphere.
Oh, 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 oh.
With freedom and breakthrough and victories are right here.
My favorite part, say where you us, God.
As the Spirit falls, there are miracles.
Kingdom.
The kingdom of God is released in the atmosphere.
Indeed, indeed. We're freedom.
We're freedom and breakthrough and victory are right here.
Come on, bring it up, bring it up. Say,
where you are is where I want to be, in your presence. There's no place I would rather be with you, Jesus.
Say it again, come on.
Where you are is where I want to be,
in
your presence. There's no place I would I can feel it breaking now. The walls are coming down right now. Jesus,
this is heaven on earth.
This is heaven on earth. Wherever you are, there's freedom.
I can feel it.
I can feel it breaking now. The walls are coming down right now. Jesus,
this is heaven.
This is heaven on earth.
My blood going every time.
The text for Reverend Susanna's meditation can be found in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. The word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, may the words that come forth from my mouth be words that are inspired by your word. Amen. Now, sometimes when I write my sermons, I find myself always asking the question, will we clearly hear God and see God in the sermon? Because after all, the reason we preach is to hear from God. God's inspired word shared with us through scripture somehow manages to remain foundational and relevant to our understanding of life today. But sometimes I think we have to dig for that message. But it is in the digging sometimes that we come to know God on a much deeper level. But today I want to speak about loss and gains, and specifically when loss equals gains. And I know that this may seem like opposing realities, like opposing concepts. They don't seem to go hand in hand. But the message from God that is shared in different ways and at different times is that the loss we might experience can result in gains. And let me say, I don't think any of us welcomes loss, you know, especially when it is the loss of people in our lives. These are likely some of the most painful experiences that we can have. But the focus this evening will not, and I want to reiterate, will not be on the loss of people, because I think the resulting processing of those losses can be so complex, and they really follow this straight linear process for healing. But that's not to say that when we have tragic losses of human life, that we cannot find opportunity to ensure that the loss of these persons results in measures that will prevent other such tragic losses. That is entirely possible, and I would even say necessary. But of course, that would be a whole other sermon to preach at another point. This evening, I want to spend a bit of time thinking about other losses that we might experience when we're called to give up tangible things such as jobs, lifestyles, or just our way of life, and other losses in our life, right? But other tangible losses that we may give up, right, to create space for more in our lives, for new opportunities, or just for new experiences, but whatever it is, potentially to create space for the next level or the next leg of our lives. And I think we see this with the story shared in the passage that my colleague, Reverend Rashad, just read for us from the Gospel of Matthew. And of course, what we do want to do is to look at the other activities that surrounded this story, what was happening before, during, and also what was happening after. Now, in this story from the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that Jesus is walking alongside the Sea of Galilee, right? And as he does this, he sees two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. And Jesus says to them, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. We are told that at once they left their nets and followed Jesus. We are also told that as Jesus moved along, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were also in a boat, but they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus also called out to them, and immediately we are told they also left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Now, in looking at what was happening immediately before Jesus called these men, we see that Jesus was in the early part of his ministry, right? A ministry that entailed what I call his marching orders from God. His marching orders from God to reveal God's ways and God's intent for humanity through various teaching mechanisms. Jesus was supposed to do this in different ways. We know that sometime prior to Jesus calling these fishermen, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. You know, this was his anointing of sorts to carry out his work in ministry. Jesus had to spend a period of time, 40 days, 40 nights, we're told, in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we can assume Jesus would have been in a weak state after having not eaten for these 40 days and nights. And one would assume be more susceptible to the devil, who wanted Jesus to prove who he was, that he was the Son of God, and wanted Jesus to worship him. But what we do know here is that Jesus, despite his potential physical weakness and maybe mental weakness, did not give in to the temptation of the devil. But the bigger message here is that Jesus was preparing for his big assignment from God. He was preparing for ministry on earth. And this was not going to be any small feat. So he needed to be prepared. You know, he was anointed for his work through baptism by John the Baptist. He was essentially tested in a weak state to see if he had what it took to stand up to the devil and maintain his allegiance to God. Because quite frankly, if he were not able to do this, how could he convince a world that we should also follow God? And Jesus meets this test, as we're told in Matthew 4:10, because we hear Jesus saying, go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. But in getting back to the scripture passage that Reverend Rashad just read, you know, Jesus had this huge assignment, like I said, ahead of him. And he knew that he was not going to be able to undertake this alone, you know. So he sets out to find a group of men who he could depend on, who he could trust, and who could help him with this huge task that he had ahead of him. To make disciples of a nation of people, not only back then, but for years to come, and in fact, into eternity. And this is where we enter the story of Jesus walking alongside the Sea of Galilee and seeing these men who are engaged in their daily livelihood. They were fishermen, likely one of the most important jobs you could have had during that time, maybe. There weren't many jobs that one could undertake. So, but certainly it would have been one of the few ways that one could make a living and feed their family. And certainly we can also infer this was at times a family business. And I say that because we're told that both James and John were fishing in a boat with their father Zebedee. That had to have been the family business. So an important part of their life. But nonetheless, Jesus asks these four men, Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, to leave their work, leave their jobs, and follow him to take up this new, what I would call profession, a new life, as one of his trusted disciples who would help him to transform the world. And here is where we find the loss and back then what would have been the potential gain. So the loss was naturally that the brothers had given up their lives as fishermen and potentially more, you know, if they had families. But the gain for them was this new opportunity to become part of a team that would transform the world, that would result in giving people an anchor to find hope, to find healing, to find love, to find grace, to find a place of comfort, to find a place of refuge, and all of those other things that we receive from God. And in fact, we so need in this world that we are challenged with today. Now, to understand the gravity of gains that resulted, we can look at what happened immediately after Jesus called these men to follow him. But I also want to mention one thing here, which is that when one has a loss, you know, whether it's intentional or not, very seldom, if at all, can we predict with any certainty whatsoever what gains may come from that. We might prepare for what we think lies ahead, but part of the lesson here is that perhaps we can risk placing our trust in God for the potential gains ahead, just like these fishermen brothers did. Now, we're told from verse 23 that after calling these men to discipleship, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing people with diseases. And the news of all these activities, we're told, would spread all throughout Syria. And of course, this led to people bringing to Jesus so many who were hurting at that time. And we're told that Jesus healed them. But we're also told that this resulted in large crowds from the area of Galilee, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and the region across the Jordan. This resulted in large crowds of people following Jesus. So we move ahead to what happens after these men were called. And I think this highlights the importance of the work that the disciples were being called to do. So in answering the call to follow Jesus, the fishermen brothers, as I said, they gained an opportunity to help Jesus transform the world. They had an opportunity not only to change their own lives, but to help change the lives of others in a positive manner. Now, we're also told that Jesus goes to the Mount of the Beatitudes with his disciples, hoping to instruct them. But as we know, he was also followed by thousands of people. And it was on the Mount of the Beatitudes that we're told Jesus delivers his first sermon. And of course, this may not have been a sermon in the way we think of sermons being delivered today, as I am. Here, there was a lot of information being delivered. Think of this more in terms of the intent of a sermon, right? The intent of a sermon is to deliver a message, hopefully inspired by God. Well, here Jesus's sermon covered the messages that we can find in the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 5, 6, and 7. And I want to encourage you, when you have some time, to go back and read these chapters, right, if you can. And because you're going to find some of Jesus's most important teachings for humanity. Now we had the Beatitudes, and these were a series of assurances that were expressed as blessings from God. You know, that despite the challenges in life, there are blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven is one of them. Jesus's message also introduced us to the Lord's Prayer. That's something that so many of us say every day. And it also introduced a number of messages about love, about caring for others, what justice looks like, and a lot more. But also fair warning to you, as you go back and read these chapters, try to find the symbolism of the message as opposed to taking away a literal meaning. Because I think one thing we know about Jesus's teachings is that they were sometimes intended to make us think and wrestle with what we needed to know or how we needed to act. So one of my main messages is that following God sometimes requires us to give up something, right? I sort of inferred that at the beginning. But in giving up something, we can still gain something else, right? And that's gonna be different for all of us. Now, as a pastor, one of the parts of my vocation that I get to do, and it's very humbling actually, is the opportunity I get to listen to people's stories. You know, people who come to us at Marble from all walks of life. And in that process, in these relationships that we form with them, we will hear stories of how they find their way through our doors on Sundays. And maybe sometimes they may enter our doors on a Sunday just to see what we're all about. Sometimes they may not come back. I mean, you know, let's be transparent. But there are so many who actually do come back. And they do come back and they become part of our Marble family. But what we do realize is that when people decide to walk with us regularly as part of our community, they likely had to give up some other routine that they were engaged with on a Sunday, some of the routine that may have been important to them as well, but they made a choice to join our family. Now, the catch is, of course, is that this new journey that people embark on with us, it's really a journey. It's a new journey with God, but we all get to do it together. You know, sometimes within our lives, you know, we're called to give up something to create space for something more, right? Something that is in fact of greater meaning, perhaps, and important also to how we move forward on our journey of life. Sometimes we may not be ready to give up that thing, but when that thing is taken away from us, it can sometimes leave us in a panic. You know, because we may feel unprepared for the outcome, or we don't think we actually know what to do next. Now, I can only imagine that this is the case for some of us during this pandemic, because it is challenging and it has thrown many of us what I call these curveballs, right? There are many things shifting in our lives. There are many things that are being taken away from us. And so we're experiencing loss on different levels. But having looked at the story of Jesus calling these four fishermen to give up their livelihood, you know, something that was critical to their daily survival, what Jesus essentially did was ask them to take on this bigger responsibility, to dare to live a life with new and more opportunities, you know, one that could make a difference not only in their lives, but in the lives of humanity. And it did not mean that the fishermen had to give up all that they possessed or all who they were. You know, they may have given up their livelihood, but I suspect that they did not give up who they were as human beings. You know, we presume the foundation of who they were as humans remained the same. They might have transformed, but the foundation of who they were would have remained the same. But it simply meant that they needed to give up some part of their daily functioning to create space for new facets of themselves to take shape or for new opportunities to enter in. So I ask the question, and I ask it of myself as well, right? I am part of this with you as well. I ask the question, what is it that God might be calling us to give up? Or what did we actually have to give up or leave behind so we could recreate space for something else, something more in our lives? Perhaps another calling of which we may not yet be aware. Perhaps something that might enhance our daily lives in a way that allows us to live more fully and more authentically. What might that be? And are we ready to make that leap or accept the reality of the new space that God has already created in our lives to do more or to do something new? And this is what I want to leave with you. I leave this with you. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, as you accompany us on our journeys through life, there are many changes. There are changes we may have to embrace, changes that entails us having to leave things behind and create space for new things to enter. Whatever that might be, Lord, I ask you to help each and every one of us to find the courage to move forward with you ahead in the distance, beckoning us forward. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Susanna, for that word. Thank you for challenging us and forcing us to sometimes to reconsider, you know, our perspective as we are forced to grapple with change. Thank you for that. One of the things in particular that I'm going to be holding on in my prayer and my meditation time this week is something you said. Perhaps we can risk placing our trust in God for the potential gains ahead. For the potential gains ahead. It is praying time, and it is not too late to submit a prayer request. You can do so in the chat or perhaps on the Facebook chat as well. Tonight, we should continue to be mindful of anyone who is in danger of experiencing lack of food or eviction or going without as a result of loss of jobs. We should also bear in mind the people of Beirut who are faced with potentially another shutdown to contain a second wave of the coronavirus after the explosion that has been wreaking havoc over the last several weeks. And I also do ask for prayers for the Tibbs family, a friend of mine that I grew up, a singing buddy that I grew up with. He was 35 years old. His mom passed away 2 days ago, and he passed away this morning very unexpectedly. He Let us go before the throne of grace. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for this word that Reverend Susanna preached tonight, oh God. Thank you for challenging us, even in the midst of change, even in the midst of sort of grappling with the new normal, to sort of shift and reconsider our perspective and to see the things that we have gained, even in the midst of the things that we have lost. God, we do lift up to you anyone who may be experiencing a season of lack right now, oh God. We lift up anyone who may be at risk of going without food or be at risk of eviction, oh God. We know that you are a provider, and we believe that you will provide for all of our needs. We do lift up to you the people of Beirut. God, we pray that you would comfort and give peace even in this time as they seek to rebuild and move forward. And I do lift up to you the Tibbs family, oh God. I pray that you send your spirit of comfort to the Tibbs family, to all of the people who were impacted by Carlos's life, oh God, and to all of the people who are just completely at a loss for words in this moment. I pray that you would send your spirit of peace and comfort. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we do pray and give thanks for anyone who is on this stream or attached to someone who is participating in the stream tonight who is in need of healing, oh God. I do pray now that you will send your healing presence, God, wherever they are. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals all of our infirmities, God. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we do pray and give thanks. Amen. It is offering time. And as we prepare to give tonight, we want you to know that we are so grateful for the ways that you have continued to support the ministry here at Marble since in-person worship services were suspended. We would not be able to serve the number of people that we serve and have the breadth of ministry that is consistently available if not for your generous support of this ministry. It is now the time in our worship service where we can give back a small portion of that with which God has so richly blessed us. It's offering time, and the people said, praise the Lord. You can give now by clicking the donate button in the upper left-hand corner of your screen. Be mindful that you will have to exit out of full screen mode to see that donate button. If you need support for online giving, feel free to reach out to the virtual business offices Monday through Friday. And Clay Hale is on the line, and he has extended himself, and he is generously waiting to help you. We are often asked if we are still accepting checks, and the answer is yes, but we are not able to process them as quickly. It aids in more efficient processing, and it keeps folks safe when we give online. So for those of you who are figuring out how to navigate online giving, even if it's just in the interim, thank you, thank you, thank you. As you take the time now to give, we have just a couple of announcements. First, be reminded that the 10 o'clock hour Bible study is on hiatus through Sunday, September 13th. In its place, we're meeting with the Sunday Prayer Circle every Sunday at 10 a.m. You can participate by phone or the video link that you find on our website. If you're able, stop by and join us for a time of prayer, sharing, singing, and inspiration. Believe it or not, tonight is the last WeWo of the month of August, and WeWo will be on hiatus as well until September, until the week after Labor Day. We will resume Wednesday, September 9th. I know you probably won't even know what to do with your Wednesdays, but this is the last one until Wednesday, September 9th. Any other information that you would like to know about services or worship opportunities or opportunities for fellowship, go to our website, marblechurch.org/moving-online, marblechurch.org, and you'll find all of the information for all of our programs at that location. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, again, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the means to give, and we thank you for a heart to be a blessing to so many. We recognize that as we have been so richly blessed by you, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to be a blessing to somebody else. Oh God, so as we give today, we just pray that you would bless all of these seeds that we are sowing into the good ground, which is the ministry of Marble Collegiate Church. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we do pray and give thanks. Amen.
Spend all your time waiting, oh, for that second chance, or a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. There's vultures and thieves at your back. The storm keeps on twisting. Keep on building the lies that you make up for all that you lack. Don't make no difference. Oh, escaping one last time. It's easier to believe in this sweet madness of this glorious sadness that brings
my friends. As we get ready to part ways this evening, I pray that you will find peace in your continued journey with God, peace within and peace around you. I also pray that you will be able to stay open to the ways in which God may be showing up in your lives, showing up in your lives when you have losses and you have to make decisions about leaving things behind in your lives. And I pray that God will grant us all courage that we may be able to create or embrace that space that emerges to help us to walk into the newness of life. Amen. Bye-bye.